Blog Talk Radio. Planet Earth, third planet from the sun. It's been an interesting day, to say the least. Despite President Obama's butt-kissing an apology tour shortly after he was inaugurated and assumed the office of the presidency, there are folks who are still trying to kill us. Imagine that. President Obama has gone on a tour, an apology tour, which he's become famous for, or rather infamous, and has been apologizing left and right for our transgressions as a nation, from I suppose our founding until this very day. Apparently I suspect that he must have assumed or thought that by kowtowing and downplaying America's exceptionalism that other nations would view us in a different light and would take pity on poor America and see us as a changed nation, one that is willing to bow down to other nations and basically be walked all over, and that they wouldn't try to kill us anymore. They'd see us as good, kind people now that President Obama has assumed the office. Well, apparently that's not the case. I'm sure many of you know what's going on with the UPS flights and FedEx, and I think it's either UPS or FedEx. I think it's both. Flights coming in from Yemen that have suspicious packagings. Apparently, Al-Qaeda has attempted to poke and prod and attempt to, poke for weaknesses, for lack of better terminology. Well, that's what's going on, and it's dominating the news right now. I'd like to go ahead and talk a little bit more about the upcoming elections on Tuesday. It's coming down to the wire. Things are becoming really excited. We'll talk a little bit about former President Bill Clinton, who simply cannot help himself. He is attempting to establish himself as kingmaker, at least when it comes to the Florida Senate elections, where Marco Rubio is expected, expected to win there. He'll squeak out a victory, I believe. But to ensure that victory, Bill Clinton wanted the Democratic candidate to walk out. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that later, but first let's talk a little bit about what's going on with Massachusetts Senator John Kerry. Apparently, John has thrown a hissy fit Thursday. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry unleashed a broadside Thursday against Republican obstructionism, saying the GOP and its talk show allies have created a period of know-nothingism. K-N-O-W hyphen nothingism in the country. I didn't even know that word exists, but apparently it does. With his party braced for defeat in the midterm elections, the 2004 Democratic presidential nominee told the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce that that a Republican machine, fueled by talk show hosts such as Rush Limbaugh, Dr. Clarence Jones, and Glenn Beck, has undermined progress and misled the public into believing Democrats created the country's current economic problems. Kerry singled out attacks on an energy deal he was negotiating with Republicans, which fell apart amid criticism of an emissions trading program. Some 20 Senate candidates are now opposing the proposed deal in their campaign. "It's absurd. We've lost our minds," said a clearly exasperated Kerry. "We're in a period of know-nothingism in this country, where truth and science and facts don't weigh in. It's all short order, lowest common denominator, cheap seat politics." It sounds to me like Mr. Kerry is slightly annoyed at the fact that he's not getting his way. He sounds like a child, pouting and stomping around and throwing a little hissy fit because he's not getting his way on what he views is important. And I somehow think that anything that John Kerry proposes, or any other Democrat that I can recall, has a lot to do with taking money out of my pocket and yours. That somehow it's supposed to cost us at the outset, but it's going to save us in the long run, money and other things, which I don't necessarily believe. Anyway, Kerry goes on to say the obstructionism is stunning, noting the country still lacks an assistant treasury secretary. "I think America really needs to know more of this kind of tactic and how it's shortchanging us." Limbaugh and Beck did not immediately respond to emails sent to the public addresses on their websites. The Republican National Committee also did not immediately respond to an email or phone message left at its national media offices. Well, the Massachusetts Republican Party accused Kerry of displaying astonishing arrogance by shifting blame for the failed policies jammed down our throats by his party. Well, that's where we stand with that. Apparently, Kerry's, he's a little unhappy. He's a little peeved right now because he's not getting his way. And he's stomping around in his high heels, red 3-inch pumps, I suspect. And he's very unhappy about it. I feel bad for him. So now that we're done with that, apparently our the GDP for the third quarter has grown to an astonishing 2%, which I'm sure that President Obama will attribute to his strong policies, to the policies that he's put in place to boost the economy. That 2%, he's probably going to ride that down to the wire on Tuesday and suggest that his policies are working, that he and Joe Biden have either saved or created the 2% job growth that we're now experiencing, the 2% GDP. All right. Well, apparently there have been no explosives on the planes in Philly or New York. this is all a big scare, and I'm sure the news cycle will develop an awful lot of time to this, which is what I'm sure Al-Qaeda would appreciate. They're probably loving every minute of this, because they didn't even have to blow anything up in order to get 24-hour news coverage here. Well, there's a new poll out in the California primary with Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown. Apparently, Meg Whitman is closing with only a few days until Election Day. Democrat Jerry Brown holds a slightly smaller lead over Republican Meg Whitman in California's gubernatorial race. So it looks like that race is tightening up, and wouldn't it just be wonderful if Meg pulls that one out? That would be great. The latest Rumson report statewide, in a statewide telephone survey of likely voters, shows Brown picking up 49% support, while Whitman draws the vote from 45%, 2% prefer some other candidates. So it looks like that one's tightening up a little bit, which is really great. I'm looking forward to seeing to Harry Reid's concession speech Tuesday night. And as we spoke at the beginning of the show, apparently Bill Clinton has attempted to manipulate the Florida race for the Senate by becoming the hero of the party by talking Florida Democratic Rep. Kendrick Meeks and talking him into dropping out of the U.S. Senate race and support Governor Crist. Governor Crist has he was the Republican front runner, and once Marco Rubio took over and was besting him at every turn in the polls, Crist decided that his bread was buttered on the Democratic side, and so he switched parties and decided that he was going to run as an independent. But really, throughout the course of his run as an independent, he has showed his true colors, really, as more of a Democrat. Well, people familiar with what's going on with Kendrick Meek and President Clinton said the former president and other top national Democrats worry a win by the charismatic Mr. Rubio, a 39-year-old Cuban-American, would make him a political phenomenon, capable of boosting the GOP's chances with Hispanic voters. These people said the conversation occurred during Mr. Clinton's Florida visit on October 19th. Mr. Meek wavered for a few days and suggested to some that he could leave the race, but then again he decided against it, which I'm really glad that he did. For the sake of sticking to his guns and not selling himself out, and certainly those people who would vote for him, and just being an honest party in this whole event. I'm sure Marco Rubio is doing his best, and he's being forthright. And the only villains I see in this whole affair are President Clinton and Charlie Crist. It's nice to see that Kendrick Meek is behaving at least for today as an honorable man, and so hats off to Kendrick Meeks for his honorable behavior. Anyway, apparently Bill Clinton and Kendrick Meek had a conversation about the fact that the prospects for him winning had passed him by, and that the only way the Republicans would be defeated is to jump on board with Chris. At least that's what the Florida Democrat agreed with the discussion came away with. The conversation was reported Thursday evening by Politico. Meek's campaign spokesman Adam Sharon said he didn't know if Mr. Clinton asked Mr. Meek to drop out of the race, but they did talk, and they've been talking about the race all the time, Mr. Sharon said. So here we go. President Clinton former President Clinton attempting to, probably at the White House's behest, attempted to manipulate this race and the overall outcome of the Florida race. But I don't think anything's going to derail the momentum that Mr. Rubio has built up. Wow, we've got some more good news today. We have some good news today because, of course, the threat's not a good news, and President Clinton's behavior is not good news overall. But we have some good news. Time is reporting that Nancy Pelosi may retire if she is defeated for Speaker. I suggest that she's just, start packing now then. As Nancy Pelosi goes, so might a generation of her colleagues. If Democrats lose control of the House of Representatives next week, as most political observers expect, there's a good chance that the House Speaker will opt to spend time with her 8 grandchildren rather than toil in the relative obscurity of the minority. Even if she wanted to stay on, it's not at all clear that she would win the position of minority leader. 7 Democratic incumbents and several candidates oppose her leadership. What do you think about that? On Wednesday, North Carolina Representative Heath Shulett, whom I saw play football. Wow. I'm really getting old. Nevertheless, Heath Shuler suggested he might challenge Pelosi for the spot, and another 20 have refused to say one way or the other. Pelosi is more likely to leave gracefully, trading the red-eye slog for the pleasant commute between her San Francisco and Napa home, and leaving the caucus in the hands of Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, who has been chafing in her shadow for decades. Well, that should be nice. A quick retirement is not an uncommon choice for the boss of the losing party. Newt Gingrich stepped down 3 days after losing 5 seats in 1998, saving his party a potentially divisive leadership election he could well have lost. And the only reason Denny Hastert, who succeeded Gingrich, lingered for more than a year after shedding his speaker mantle in 2007 was to help his Illinois seat, keep his Illinois seat warm for his son, who never made it past the primary. So here we go. Nancy Pelosi set to step down should the House go to the Republican Party next week, which I expect it will. But you know what? I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch, and I'm sure the Republican Party isn't. Anything can happen on Election Day. Folks are still yet to vote. We should have an actual vote before we start counting counting seats and taking seats. This is not a game of musical chairs, so we really need to go ahead and be optimistic, but cautiously so. So I can't wait, though. I mean, it's just going to be like watching the Super Bowl for me. I mean, it's just going to be wonderful. I'll be in front of the screen. I'll have the computers on. It'll be like I'm in a war room all my own. This should be interesting. I'm really interested to see how this all plays out, and a lot is at stake. A lot is at stake. The very fabric of our nation is at risk with President Obama as Commander-in-Chief, as President of the United States. Mr. Obama has been an unmitigating disaster as President of the United States, and it's hard to see how he's going to it'll be interesting to see how he'll adjust if the Republicans take the House. I don't expect that Republicans will take the Senate, but I do expect that the House will go over to the Senate, go over to the Republicans. I think that's something that we should expect. And I'm very much looking forward to it. So here we are, getting ready to move on over to Tuesday, which I'm going to call Super Tuesday. It's going to be great. And we'll see how things go. We'll see how things shape up on Tuesday. Are you all excited? Are you all as excited as I am? Because I am really excited. Now, Obama's policy team has been in tatters, and he is without many of his allies. The folks that came in with him when he came into power, into the presidency. A lot of folks are gone. Axelrod's leaving, a few of the other folks are gone. President Obama, with his party perhaps on the cusp of a major electoral defeat, and I can't overstress that. I'm so excited about the possibilities, really. Also faces the burden of recalibrating his presidency while restocking the West Wing's depleted policy team. So this should, I think this is going to be interesting to see as well. Who will he bring in? What sort of a socialist, Marxist ideologue will he bring in to help to retool as the Republicans assume power in the House and even perhaps the Senate? Well, apparently the National Economic Council has seen its influence wane with the announced resignation of Director Lawrence Summers and the difficult search for a successor. The scope and the scale of its economic proposals have shrunk dramatically and gained very little traction. So the White House Budget Office remains without permanent leadership 3 months after the departure of the former chief, Peter Orszag. So it's shifting responsibility to junior staff members as Congress struggles to pass a budget for fiscal 2011, which begins this month. So, wow, so much going on. President Obama at this moment is giving a speech on, he's giving a brief press conference on what's going on with the bomb scare. I have it on in the background. Two places of Jewish worship in Chicago have been targeted, and East Midlands Airport in the United Kingdom have been targeted as well. So explosive materials at this date have been discovered. So it seems to me that Al Qaeda is simply probing for a weakness, and just looking for where we are weakest, so that at some point they could really exploit that weakness to devastating effect somewhere down the line. So that's what I think is going on with that. I tell you what, we live in very, very interesting times, politically and overall historically. We have a president who is an ideologue. I believe he's a socialist, and I believe that his goal is to pretty much Well, he said it himself. He wants to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Well, I don't want America, and a lot of Americans don't want America to be fundamentally transformed into anything. We like America just as it is. We appreciate America for what it is. This is a great country, a great nation with great people. Why President Obama feels the need to tamper with that to the point and retool America is beyond me. But that's what he wants to do, and it seems as though America is not at all appreciative of that. Poor Christine O'Donnell, I did a show featuring her about a month or so ago. She has virtually no chance of winning her seat, but that doesn't stop folks from smearing her and basically giving her the Sarah Palin treatment. Apparently she had been the victim of a bogus left-wing sex smear. Yeah, that sounds about right. A U.S. blog sparked outrage on both sides of the political spectrum after publishing a story accusing Christine Whitman of having a drunken one-night stand with a man 14 years her junior 3 years ago. Gawker said it had paid an unnamed man low four figures for the story, published just 1 week before midterm elections in which Ms. O'Donnell is running for the Senate. In an anonymous post, the 25-year-old Philadelphia man claims Ms. O'Donnell was a decent kisser, but that she told him she was a virgin. He also claims the two did not have sex. excuse me. He claims that the dude did not have sex and makes intimate comments about her body and grooming. Gawker's sister website, Jezebel, reported that the post had 180,000 hits in 2 hours. Apparently, this is all untrue. It's only meant to make her look bad and to smear her. Now, in my opinion, you know, I support Ms. O'Donnell. I think she's great. I think I like her. I like her a lot. As a politician, I like what she stands for. And she's not all that bad to look at either. But she's not going to win. She's not going to beat Coons. She's not going to win. So why do this to her? I mean, I can understand if she was if she was a little bit more of a threat. But it's really funny how liberals pretend to be feminists, and yet their vile, sexist comments show them to be, knuckle-dragging Neanderthal. I can understand their frustration, too. However, man, I tell you, of the 50 or so Republican congressmen who are predicted to win on November 2nd, at least 40 of them are solid pro-life conservatives. According to an article in the latest issue of the Weekly Standard, 2010 is setting up to be a year of the pro-life woman. With our gal Sarah and the Mama and Papa Grizzly leading the way to victory. I love it. And I sincerely cannot wait until we get this whole thing going. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And it's going to And we'll we'll see how that all works out. We'll have a good time. Okay, let me see if I have this right. The left embraces an anything goes, non-judgmental attitude. Yet, two people, if the story's true, having an encounter is inappropriate. They defend Roman Polanski raping a 14-year-old, but two consenting adults engaged in consensual matters is somehow vile and inappropriate. That's interesting. Wow. Delaware will exemplify how much the Democrats and the polls underestimated the independent voter and how the outraged women, independent voters, will teach the Democrats a lesson by helping elect O'Donnell. This is going to be a major upset. I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my mind here. This is going to be a major upset. I'm going to go right now out on a whim and predict that Christine O'Donnell is going to squeak out a victory against her Democratic opponent. You heard it here. You heard it right now. Earlier in this broadcast, I suggested that Christine O'Donnell was not going to win, that she couldn't win. You heard me. But now I'm fired up because I'm thinking that these kinds of dirty tricks, you know, Americans won't stand for it. The people in Massachusetts and Delaware and places like that, they're not going to stand for this stuff. So I'm hoping, I'm predicting that O'Donnell's going to squeak out a victory. And wow, if she does, not only will I become the sagacious prognosticator, but we'll have a pretty good senator to add to the list. I'll help stop President Obama's socialist agenda. It appears that this election is going to be come a crossroads election. Most elections are about particular policies, particular scandals, or particular personalities. But these issues don't mean as much this year. Not because they're not important, but because this election is a crossroads election and one that can decide the path this country will take for many years to come. Runaway stimulus spending, high unemployment, and Obamacare, they're all legitimate and important issues. It is just that freedom and survival are more important. For all its sweeping and scary provisions, Obamacare is not nearly as important as the way it was passed. None. And if legislation can become laws passed without either the public or the Congress knowing what is in those laws, then the fundamental principle of a free and self-governing people is completely undermined. Some members of Congress who voted for Obamacare and who are now telling us that they realize this legislation has flaws, which they intend to correct, well, they're missing the point. The very reason for holding hearing on pending legislation, listening to witnesses on all sides of the issue, and having congressional debates that will be reported and commented on in the media, is so that problems can be explored and alternatives considered before the legislation is voted into law. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's how I was taught and trained, that that we did things in the course of a legislative process. So by rushing Obamacare into law too fast for anybody to have a chance to read it, it served no other purpose than to prevent the very process from taking place. The rush to pass Obamacare, a law that would not take effect until after the next two elections, simply cut the voters out of the loop. And that's painfully close to ruling by decree. Now, Obama said that he was not a king, that he's president. He's not king. Well, he's attempting to come damn close, I think. Well, other actions and proposals by the administration, they likewise represent moves in the direction of arbitrary rule, worthy, what I think, of a banana republic with only a mocking facade of freedom. That's what I think. And I think that President Obama has planned this all along. There's been zero tolerance for the right of free speech guaranteed by the Constitution. That's a warning that comes from an administration with arbitrary powers that can impose ruinous cost on a given business. There are those who are constantly telling us that our economic problems are caused by not enough regulation. Never distinguishing between regulation, which simply enforces known rules, as contrasted with regulations that gives arbitrary powers to the government to force others to knuckle under to demands that have nothing to do with the purposes of the regulation. Yeah. That almost confuses me, what I just said. You know, as more businesses reveal that they're considering no longer buying health insurance for their employees as a result of higher costs resulting from Obamacare legislation, the administration has announced that it can grant waivers that reduce these costs. Yeah, that sounds ominous, doesn't it? It seems to me that the Obama administration knew that this was going to happen all along. That they knew that companies would balk and they wouldn't be able to afford the cost associated with Obamacare, and that ultimately the government would have to say, "Hey, see what these evil insurance companies are doing? We're going to have to go ahead and take over. We're going to have to go ahead and rein in these evil businesses and insurance companies and enact a single-payer system so that you can get what we think you deserve." Yeah. The power to grant waivers is also the power to withhold waivers. An arbitrary power that can impose millions of dollars in costs on businesses that the administration doesn't like. So recent proposals from the Obama administration to force disclosure of names of people who sponsor election ads would likewise open all who disagree with Obama to retaliation by the government itself. Banana Republic. Boom. Not the store. Not the store chain. As well, you know, as community activists and almost anybody. So what does that say? You know, history tells us we're giving government one arbitrary power after another leaves. It's like going into a Venus flytrap, which is easy to enter and nearly impossible to get out of. So it's my opinion that the headstrong, know-it-all willfulness of this administration, which threatens our freedom at home, also threatens our survival in the international jungle. Yep. Because Obama seems determined to do nothing that will stop Iran from going nuclear. I don't think he really cares. I don't think he wants to be bothered with that. I believe that Mr. Obama believes that, live and let live. If they want to go nuclear, it's okay. It's cool with me. There's nothing that can, they can't do anything to us. You know, they won't bother me. I got other bigger fish to fry. I'm too busy redistributing wealth and fundamentally transforming the United States of America. So I don't have time for this whole Iran nuclear thing. It's not my bag. That's part of what he says. As he's dragging on a Pall Mall or something. Or some other type of cigarette. What is transparent about the Obama administration is that they, it's clear that they have an agenda that is contrary to their official stance on things. For example, the Obama administration goes through all sorts of charades about, or should it be charade, at the UN. And it signs international agreements on sanctions that have been watered down to the point where they're not about to bring Iran's nuclear weapons program to a halt, a standstill, or a pause. And the purpose isn't to stop Iran, but to stop the American people from realizing what Obama is doing or not doing. We got a strange man in the White House. His election is a crossroads, once again, because either his power will be curbed by depriving him of the majority, or he will continue on a road that jeopardizes both our freedom and our survival. And it's really getting serious out there, folks. It's really getting to the point where it's about the survival of a nation. It's about where we're going to be headed in the next 2 years. I am deeply, deeply concerned about where we are headed and where our country is going. We live in a country that is what I'm going to call this show at a crossroads. We are it's an America where we can go. We can either prosper or we can fall miserably. You know, I'm deeply concerned that we'll fall like Greece or like Rome. country that was once a great power, that our country is in deep jeopardy. And I talked to so many people, friends and family, who simply don't see it. They don't see it. It's just they don't see the danger. They don't see the threat. All they see is what they think this man is doing that's good. They believe that he has the best intentions for America. He may believe in his heart that he is doing what he considers to be good for America. But we can say that Pol Pot felt the same way. Castro felt the same way. Idi Amin felt the same way about his country, where he wanted to take it. We can say that about a lot of dictators in a lot of countries that fell. I just think that this is a time where we really need to tread carefully, and the only apocalypse that I want to see is a democratic apocalypse when it comes to the elections next week, where the Democrats will receive a crushing rebuke. Voters will be delivering a verdict on the first 2 years of the Obama administration. And as we know, midterm elections are almost always unpleasant experiences for the White House. You know, especially when the economy is weak. But there are key races in this election that should have been safe for the party in power, demonstrate the extent to which President Obama and his policies have nationalized this election. In Nevada, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, he's got a huge war chest. In the state, Mr. Obama won in 2008 by 12 points. Mr. Reid, as of today, trails Sharron Engel by 4 points in the latest Rasmussen poll. In West Virginia, Joe Manchin, popular Democrat governor, is running for the Senate. Yet he lags behind John Racy by 2 points. In the October 23 Fox News poll, largely because of Mr. Obama's 30% approval rating in that state, Mr. Macron is running away from the president, telling Fox News that Mr. Obama is dead wrong on cap and trade, and that he would not have supported Obamacare had he known anything that was in the bill, which sounds to me like a serious cop-out. It sounds to me that Mr. Obama has really put some people out on a limb. I mean, he has really set the agenda. for he's really put some folks out there. It's getting to the point where folks are running away from Mr. Obama's policies in droves. I don't believe it for one minute. I believe that these folks are just giving lip service to the electorate. So they can get reelected. And then once they're reelected, they'll go back to doing what they have been doing this whole time. You know, they just want to get reelected for the next 2 years. And hope that that 2 years from now, the people of their states who voted for them will forget the promises that they've made and did not keep. Let's talk a moment about the Illinois Senate seat held by Mr. Obama before he was elected president. It should be safely Democratic. Instead, Republican Congressman Mark Kirk has led Illinois Treasurer and Obama basketball buddy Bobby Alexi Gallegos in 8 of the 10 polls taken this month. It's going to be a terrible embarrassment if the president's former seat flips. And that's a race that I'm certainly going to be looking into. So it's going to be really great to sit later on Tuesday and watch the coverage and just follow the process. I'm sure there's going to be lots of talk of voter manipulation, some fraud, and I'm sure we'll have at least one or two contests that won't be decided by the next morning. There'll be one or two that'll go into litigation, and that should be exciting as well. There'll be some suspense. Some powerful Senate Democrats who will lose their seats will probably, no doubt, make challenges if the races are close enough. One of the other more interesting Senate races is in Ohio, where Rob Portman, a former trade negotiator and budget director for George Bush, he leads Democrat Lieutenant Governor Lee Fisher by an average of 19 points in a state Mr. Obama carried by 4 points. So that should be an interesting race as well. Ohio, as it happens, is no longer friendly Obama territory. An August survey reported that Ohioans would prefer George W. Bush in the White House today rather than Mr. Obama by 50 to 42% percentage points. So Mr. Portman, who campaigns relentlessly on jobs, presenting a principled and optimistic case that conservative policies mean economic growth, there's a winning strategy there. So that's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. I'm really, really excited about these elections, and I thoroughly believe that these elections our referendum on the Obama administration, as Mr. Obama has agreed that they are. He has come out and admitted that next week's election will determine the course of his agenda and whether or not he will be able to enact his agenda. And I found that to be refreshingly candid of Mr. Obama. You know, I have hope for this great country. I have hope for the future of the country, whereas a year ago I did not. I thought we were headed down the path towards sure socialism, where the president and the first lady were basically setting themselves up as king and queen of America. I thought that the administration would seek in some way, by using the census to acquire more seats in Congress for the Democrats, thus setting up a supermajority that would be insurmountable and formidable, so that the administration could pass whatever legislation they decided and just bring us into, just turn America into a Marxist, socialist utopia, which isn't a utopia at all. But with the ascent of Marco Rubio, he'll be my crown jewel in this election. If he wins, and it is expected that he will, my faith in my country will be restored. My faith in America will be restored. I will believe again that our great nation has hope of surviving Barack Obama and his administration of cronies, thugs, hoodlums, socialists, Marxists, communists. Marco Rubio, my crown jewel in this election, has built a commanding, and in my opinion, an insurmountable lead in Florida's three-way Senate race. And the polls bear that out. The latest poll, which comes on the heels of revelations that former President Bill Clinton last week reportedly urged Democrat Kendrick Meek to get out of the race, shows a Republican Rubio leading the field with 45%, followed by Governor Chris at 28% and Meek at 21%. Only 6% of voters in the Mason-Dixon Polling and Research Inc. poll said they were undecided. Only 6%. So I am optimistic that America will win. Well, folks, that ends my show for today. Please stay tuned. Keep your eyes and ears open. Watch Fox News. Read the Weekly Standard. And watch some of the other shows, MSNBC and the like. Maybe throw them a rating or two, because they're hopelessly lacking. Stay tuned for our next show, where we'll talk more about upcoming political events. I'll be back tomorrow, and I'll be back the next day, and the next day after that. Have a great weekend, and God bless. In the